Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Our reading this morning is Psalm 42, and it can be found on page 571. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throngs. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody, and warm welcome from me as well to add to that of Andrew to our Remembrance Day service. I don't know whether you ever looked at the plaque that is on the wall over there. Perhaps you'll have a chance, not all at the same time, please, to look at it afterwards. On it are commemorated Percy Gold and Arthur Gold. Percy died at the age of 33 in 1916. He had been part of the revival here in 1905. He'd gone around special meetings in a number of local parishes, sharing the gospel, sharing what the Lord had done in his life. And then in 1907, he'd gone off to Singapore to be an accountant there, and he took a key role in the youth work at St. Andrew's Cathedral. He was called back to Europe probably in 1916, and then died on the 20th of July that very year in Ypres. His brother Arthur was 10 years younger, 23, when he died in the vicinity of Villiers-aux-Bois on the morning of the 16th of June, 1917. Mary and William Gold lost two sons in less than 12 months. Sometimes the immense scope of two world wars and of all the conflicts we could think of raging today, it's just too much to take in. And we need a personal story. We need a story of one or two to help us begin to understand. And I feel that particularly personally today. It was my own father's funeral on Friday. He served in the Territorial Army. He completed 2 6-month tours, one in Riyadh during the first Gulf War in 1991, and the second in 1998 in Bosnia. And I remember when he was in the Gulf, as he did throughout his life, he sent me a letter a week, but they were on these blueies, the airmail. And I remember somewhat terrified hearing his accounts of the drills for putting on the nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare suits. But he came back unscathed, and he lived a full and blessed life. And still, losing him is really hard. And so lots of us will come today bringing some kind of grief. It may be the loss of a loved one, particularly raw in the last year. This may be a difficult anniversary this year for you. Or there may be many less evident, possibly even less socially acceptable types of sadness, regret, difficulty. And we struggle. And with that in mind, we are turning to the Lord together. Psalm 42, if you've got it in the Bibles in front of you or on a device, you'll be helped to follow it along. Psalm 42, verse 1, my soul thirsts for the living God. We're going to turn to the Lord together. And for a few minutes, I want to trace the contours with you of this particular griever's journey. And I think we're going to find words that, though they may be very ancient, they are honest, they are willing to ask the hard questions, and they remind us of a God who is not only up there, but who also speaks our language, who knows our world. And I hope we'll be supplied by both ancient wisdom for our grief and eternal hope out of it. So the first of those two then, ancient wisdom for our grief. Now, if you've ever sung that chorus before, the psalm in many ways will be very familiar to you. It may be that there are some here who've never heard this psalm read before, first time hearing it. But wherever you are, I think as you begin to read, you will recognize a struggle in life that really anyone can identify with. First of all, here is someone who knows grief can be a constant, inescapable reality. Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. Whether it is the loneliness of bereavement or chronic separation or a lifelong disappointment, there are some of us here today, I'm sure, who have that struggle that is always the last thing at night. And always the first thing in the morning, and perhaps at the waking hours in between. Grief can be inescapable. Second, grief is a test of faith. Grief is a test of faith. My tears have been my food day and night, he says, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? I was reading the reflections of the Reverend Milton Thompson on his ministry here at Emmanuel during the Second World War. He was here from 1938 to 47. And of the end of the war, he wrote the following. He said, at long last came the end of the fighting, and it found us all wearied in body and tired in mind, but unbroken in spirit, because the Lord in whom we had put our trust had not failed us. Well, it's very inspirational, actually, to think of the courage and faith that sustained many in this church family through immense hardship in the war, and of course many others. But I think it's also worth noting that not every believer's experience of grief and hardship is an unbroken spirit. For others, like the psalmist, their struggle begs the question, where is your God? Your circumstances are full of trouble. You say you believe in God. If he was really there, wouldn't he have shown up by now? Where is he? And actually, as the psalmist goes on, he explains how he feels it very personally. Verse 9 is a paradoxical verse. He says, I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? I'm busy remembering you. Why have you forgotten me? Grief can be a real test of faith. Third, grief is confusing. Grief is confusing. So confusing for the psalmist, in fact, that he feels alienated from himself. He can't even understand his own emotions. Twice he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" It's like he opens up his own kind of emotions, looks in there, and he can't understand the working. I mentioned Arthur Gold in my introduction. It transpired that Arthur's death was the result not of a great military effort, but of a rather mediocre mistake. Gold was on a practice bombing run in France, and he died from injuries that were sustained when an explosive device detonated in the hands of one of his comrades. The inquiry decided it was probably due to a faulty fuse. Sometimes our confusion comes just out of that sort of thing. Why? Why did this happen? You know, sometimes we've actually got a good logical answer to the why. Perhaps even a heroic answer to the why. And yet still, we find our grief bewildering. And finally, the psalm shows us that grief is not a river, but a sea. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. As a 10-year-old on French exchange, I went to the beach with my exchange family in Bordeaux. Now, I had so far savored only the Baltic Sea and the North Sea. It was my first time at the Atlantic Ocean, and I was totally unprepared. I walked in, and I can still remember getting spun around like a washing machine. That was the experience of the psalmist. Your waves and breakers have swept over me. But actually, when you step back, you realize that grief is like a sea in another sense. If you were following Psalm 42 as it was being read, and you were struggling to follow it, that's because it's hard to follow. The whole thing ebbs and flows. It goes in and out. Sometimes we're making progress, then we go all the way back to the beginning. So we start off with this longing. Where can I go and meet God? And then there's the taunting. Or where is your God? And then there's the inspiring memories. I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. And then the depression kicks in. Oh, why, my soul, you sound downcast. And then there's resolve, direction, put your hope in God. And then back to rock bottom. Oh, my soul is so downcast within me. And then verse 9, I mentioned it earlier, is the most striking verse of all. I say to God, my rock. What do you think he's going to say next? Something full of confidence? Why have you forgotten me? In the same breath, the same mind that thinks of God as this great, undependable thing, in the same moment, finds him kind of not there at all. This is the experience of grief. But the Psalms wonderfully offer more than just realism. They offer hope. They offer hope. And the starting point for that, of course, is at the very beginning of this psalm, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? The psalmist does ask questions, but he also knows where to find answers. And I know for many of us here, that is our experience of faith. He knows that his ultimate happiness is actually to be found in relationship with God. As C.S. Lewis put it, this man has a keen appetite for God. He's like a deer panting and thirsting for streams of water. His life depends on finding God. And he is sure, even if he's struggling to find him right now, that that is where the answer is going to lie. As I was preparing this talk last week, I went on my weekly cycle ride out to Oxted. And I returned, as I always do, I'm a great creature of habit, via Chalk Pit Lane. It's extremely steep. And I was really huffing and puffing by the time I got to the top, as usual. And suddenly, three beautiful deer walked straight across the road. One stag, two roe, literally right there, so halfway down the aisle. And I've probably done that route 50 times in my life. I've never seen a single deer on it before. And it was pretty extraordinary. You can call it coincidence if you like. I'm absolutely taking it from the Lord. I was preparing the sermon in my head as I was cycling. Not particularly coherently. I was a bit out of breath. But then I suddenly looked up, and there they were. This great stag looking at me as the deer pants for streams of water. I wonder what that's like. I took it as a token of grace and a reminder that the Lord is actually present. Even as that deer just walked across my path all of a sudden, the Lord is here in our world. And of course, at that stage, I was also mourning my father. I was full of sadness myself. And I thought, yeah, though we struggle, he is here to be found. So perhaps I can say that to you, if you don't have the faith for it today. The Lord may be found. You can find him. And you can find fulfillment and your deepest longings and desires met in him. And that's important to say, isn't it? Because grief offers so many alternative paths. We can wallow in self-pity. There's escapism. There's addiction. Distraction. There are many options to us open. But instead, let us follow the psalmist who pours out his soul to the Lord, the one who he's not even quite sure is there at times. The Lord, look to the Lord in your grief. And secondly, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. In the kind of ebbing and flowing of this psalm, the coming and going like the waves, there is one place that the psalmist keeps coming back to again and again. And in fact, 42 and 43 are probably originally one psalm, and it comes three times across those two psalms. It's like the psalmist has a place to go back to, and often his soul wanders off, and then he brings it back to that same place again. And it's a particular form of words. And sometimes in our grief, that's exactly what we need. We need the actual words to say. This is what he says. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Friday, as I said, was a sad day for me. It was Dad's funeral. But it was also a day of immense joy. I had people come up to me in rather embarrassed tones to say, look, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say this, but this was the best funeral I've ever been to. It was so hopeful. And the reason for that is because my dad was a Christian. In fact, I think on reflection, he was something of a spiritual titan. He was absolutely full of confidence in the Lord. And he knew the Lord was someone you could lean on. You could actually put your hope on. You could hang the whole weight of your life on him. And boy, his life went pretty wrong at different times. He was no stranger to adversity. And you could do that both for now and for eternity. I remember seeing him in the hospital a couple of weeks back. And he was on pretty cheerful form at this stage. And there were five other really exceedingly ill-looking men in this particular ward. And, you know, we had our chat, as we usually do. And they said, well, let's pray. And they're all looking slightly strangely across the ward. And Dad, he was never shy about praying. He would always put his hands together like this, close his eyes very hard, and then put his head down like this. I sort of looked around what everyone else was thinking of what we were doing. But we prayed. And so it was so many times in his life. And perhaps there are some here together who need to recover that sense of hope in the Lord. Hope that the Lord promises to be with you right now. Hope that following him, whatever other options you've been given, following him is the best thing you can do for your life. Hope that he promises you eternal security, that you're going to be with him. That one day you will no longer say, oh, I wish I could go and be with the Lord, because he will be with you like he's never been with you before. Now, some here are perhaps longing to put their hope, but actually you're not even sure you know who this Lord is. And you can't put your hope in something that you don't yet know. Well, wonderfully, we're some way down the track from the psalmist of Psalm 42. We know about the life and death of Jesus Christ. We know that God exists because he has walked in our world and we've seen him. We know that he's good because no character compares with the one displayed in Jesus' life. And we know that he has power to save because he died on the cross. He took there, he suffered for us, for our sin. He bore the full burden of our guilt so that we would not have to. And he rose again. And so he will raise our mortal bodies if we have put our trust in him. And so let me say to you, if this morning you are longing to put your hope somewhere, but you're not quite sure who or where, let it be him. And I would love to speak to you a bit more about how he might take your hopes and fulfill them now and for eternity. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, we know that for many of us today, there will be great struggles, there will be grief, and indeed there will be, for some, a sense of your absence, a real difficulty, a question: where is your God? Why have you forgotten me? And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with us. We pray that you would enable us to put our hope in you. We pray particularly for those who can find no faith or no strength, who can find no feeling of joy, that you would nevertheless be able to help them hope for hope, help them hold on to what they know of you, and find some confidence that they will be restored in relationship with you. And for each of us, in whatever situation we find ourselves, Lord, may we know you as the one whom we are overjoyed to praise as our Savior and our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.